Vatsalakaya Chakshun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dhati Swapadantikam Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Paravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashtadya Deshatarine Vanchaka Patru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyascha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shilasari Gaurabhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
We are in the auspicious month of Kartik. And in Mumbai, it is Sri Rama Ekadasi. We're about 12 hours behind, so for us it will start later. But this date is very significant, because 44 years ago on this date, something very historic took place. Srila Prabhupada was in Juhu at the time, and as was our usual practice, we went up to his quarters at about 6 in the morning to accompany him on his morning walk on Juhu Beach. But this morning, when we got to the top of the stairs, both doors were closed. When we got to the top, on the right side was Srila Prabhupada's quarters, and on the left side was his servants' quarters. And it was quite unusual, but both doors were locked. So we knocked, and eventually Srila Prabhupada's secretary at the time, Harikesh Prabhu, opened the door. Just a little crack. And he said that that night Srila Prabhupada had completed his translation of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, and he had stayed up all night. And at the end, he dictated the most wonderful glorification of his Guru Maharaj, and he was in a very ecstatic mood. And he said that we should celebrate by having a feast. So I will read from Srila Prabhupada's concluding words to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, which was the wonderful glorification of his spiritual master that Harikesh Prabhu mentioned. We'll read a few verses just from the conclusion of Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is also very beautiful. Please repeat. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Well, we read from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antya Lila, Chapter 20, the Shikshastaka prayers. We won't read the whole chapter, that would take a long time, but we'll just pick up the last few verses. So Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, to taste, to relish the nectar of Chaitanya Charitamrita, he gives a synopsis of each chapter in the book, in this last chapter. I mean, first he describes the Shikshastaka prayers, how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tasted them and commented on them, and then he summarizes the whole book. And then he comes to this stage. Text 139. Bhakte shikhaite ye shikshakta kaila se shloka takera atapuna svadila. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu composed those eight stanzas to instruct the devotees, but he also personally tasted their meaning. Mukya mukya lilara artha kailun katana anuvada haite smare grantha vivarana. I have thus repeated the principal pastimes and their meaning, for by such repetition one can remember the descriptions in the book. Eka eka parichedera kata aneka prakara mukya mukya kahilun kata na yaya vistara. In every chapter there are various topics, but I have repeated only those that are principal, for not all of them could be described again. Sri Radha Saha Sri Madana Mohana Sri Radha Saha Sri Govinda Charana Sri Radha Saha Sri Lashi Gopinatha Etina Takurahaya Godiaranatha. The Vrindavan deities of Madan Mohan with Srimati Radharani, Govinda with Srimati Radharani, and Gopinath with Srimati Radharani are the life and soul of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Sri Yuta Nityananda, Sri Advaita Acharya, Sri Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Sri Swarup, Sri Rupa, Sri Sanatana, Sri Guru, Sri Raghunatha, Sri Jiva Charana, Nija Sire Dari E Sabara Charana, Yaha Haite Haya Sabha Vanchita Purana. So that my desire may be fulfilled, I place the lotus feet of these personalities on my head. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with Lord Nityananda, Advaitacharya, and their devotees, as well as Sri Swarup Damodar Goswami, Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Sanatan Goswami, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, who is my spiritual master, and Sri the Jiva Goswami. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Raghunath Das Goswami was the instructing spiritual master of Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. and therefore has been described as Sri Guru. Text 147. Sabara Charana Kripa Guru Upadhyayi Moravani Shishyatari Bahuta Nachayi. The mercy of their lotus feet is my spiritual master, and my words are my disciples, whom I have made dance in various ways. Purport. Upadhyayi, or Upadhyaya, refers to one who teaches when approached. Upetya adiyate asmat. In the Manu Samhita it is said, Ekadesham tu vedasya veda ganya piva puna yodhyaya pati vrityartham upadhyaya sa uchite. One who teaches others a part of the Vedas or literature supplementary to the Vedas may be called upadhyaya. Upadhyaya also refers to one who teaches art. 148. Seeing the fatigue of my disciples. Oh, who are the disciples? His words. Yes. Seeing the fatigue of the disciples, the spiritual master has stopped making them dance. And because that mercy no longer makes them dance, my words now sit silently. A beautiful way of concluding the narration. My inexperienced words do not know how to dance by themselves. The mercy of the guru, who's the guru? Well, it's the lotus, the dust of the lotus feet of all those superiors that he listed. He's not taking any credit for anything himself. My inexperienced words do not know how to dance by themselves. The mercy of the guru made them dance as much as possible. And now, after dancing, they have taken rest. I now worship the lotus feet of all my readers. For by the mercy of their lotus feet, there is all good fortune. If one hears the pastimes of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as described in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, I wash his lotus feet and drink the water. I decorate my head with the dust of the lotus feet of my audience. Now you have all drunk this nectar, and therefore my labor is successful. Sri Rupa Raghunatha Padayara Asha Chaitanya Charitamrita Kahe Krishna Dasa. Praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sri Raghunath, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishna Das, narrate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, following in their footsteps. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is filled with the activities of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself. It invokes all good fortune and destroys everything inauspicious. If one tastes the nectar of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita with faith and love, I become like a bumblebee, tasting the honey of transcendental love from His lotus feet. Since this book, Chaitanya Charitamrita, is now complete, having been written for the satisfaction of the most opulent deities, Madan Mohanji and Govindaji, let it be offered at the lotus feet of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Dev. Realized devotees are like bumblebees maddened by their own mellows at Krishna's lotus feet. The scent of those lotus feet perfumes the entire world. Who is the realized soul that could give them up? in Vrindavan. In the year 1537, Sakabda era, CE 1615, in the month of Jaishta, May, June, on Sunday, the fifth day of the waning moon, this Chaitanya Charitamrita has been completed. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Antya Lila, 20th chapter, describing the meaning of the Shikshastaka and how the Lord tasted it himself. End of the Antya Lila. So now we come to the concluding words, Srila Prabhupada's, as Harikesh Prabhu said, Srila Prabhupada's wonderful glorification of his spiritual master. So, Krishnadas Kaviraj completed on Sunday, and Srila Prabhupada also completed on Sunday. Today, Sunday, November 10th, 1974, corresponding to the 10th of Kartik, Chaitanya era 488, the 11th day of the dark fortnight, the Rama Ekadasi. We have now finished the English translation of Sri Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, in accordance with the authorized order of His Divine Grace Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj, my eternal spiritual master, guide, and friend. So this is the theme of the whole concluding words, the order of His spiritual master. Although according to material vision, His Divine Grace Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada passed away from this material world on the last day of December 1936, I still consider His Divine Grace to be always present with me by His Vani, His words. There are two ways of association. What are the two ways? There are two ways of association, by Vani and Vapu. Vani means words, and Vapu means physical presence. Physical presence is sometimes appreciable and sometimes not. But Vani continues to exist eternally. Therefore, we must take advantage of the Vani, not the physical presence. The Bhagavad Gita, for example, is the Vani of Lord Krishna. Although Krishna was personally present 5,000 years ago and is no longer physically present from the materialistic point of view, the Bhagavad Gita continues. In this connection, we may call to memory the time when I was fortunate enough to meet His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada sometime in the year 1922. Srila Prabhupada had come to Calcutta from Sridham Mayapur to start the missionary activities of the Gaudiya Mutt. He was sitting in a house at Ultadunga when, through the inducement of an intimate friend, the late Sriman Narendranath Malik, I had the opportunity to meet His Divine Grace for the first time. I do not remember the actual date of the meeting, but at that time I was one of the managers of Dr. Bose's laboratory in Calcutta. I was a newly married young man, addicted to Gandhi's movement and dressed in khadi. Fortunately, even at our first meeting, His Divine Grace advised me to preach the cult of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in English in the Western countries. Because at that time I was a complete nationalist, a follower of Mahatma Gandhi, I submitted to his divine grace that unless our country were freed from foreign subjugation, no one would hear the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu seriously. Of course, we had some argument on this subject, but at last I was defeated and convinced that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's message was the only panacea for suffering humanity. What is panacea?
Cure-all.
I was also convinced that the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was then in the hands of a very expert devotee, and that surely the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would spread all over the world. I could not, however, immediately take up his instructions to preach, but I took his words very seriously and was always thinking of how to execute his order, although I was quite unfit to do so. So this is an important principle for us also, that we may receive an order from a superior authority, from a spiritual master, and not be able to take it up immediately. But as Srila Prabhupada said, I took his words very seriously and was always thinking of how to execute his order, although I could not take up the instructions immediately. I had my own little experience with that when I first met Srila Prabhupada in Boston. I know the exact date. And at the time, Satsvarupa Das Adhikari was the temple president. And he was the editor of Back to Godhead magazine. And he was always looking for articles. He encouraged me to write, and I wrote an article about Guru. But there was a period of about 2 months between when a magazine was ready to go to press and actually came out. So by the time that magazine came out, we were already in India with Srila Prabhupada in Gorakhpur at Sri Krishna Niketan, which had been the personal residence of Hanuman Prasad Poddar, the Gita Press. So in Gorakhpur, that article, the magazine with that article came. And Srila Prabhupada read it and asked to see me. So I went into his, not exactly his room, but there was a hall where he would meet people. So I went into the hall and he said, I read your article. It was very nice. And you should write as your main business. So, I mean, there are many details which I need not repeat here, although they are in the book Watering the Seed. And so I went out and I bought some lined paper and some pens and pencils. That was how people wrote in those days. Didn't have computers. And Yeah, Srila Prabhupada said that, you know, you stay with me and I will train you how to write. But anyway, it didn't work out like that. And I went with Hansaduda Prabhu in a small party. We went to Aligarh and Agra. And while we were there, we got a telegram from Srila Prabhupada saying that he was arranging a big Pandav program in Bombay and we should come there. So I went to Bombay and Shyamasundara Prabhu was the temple president. He was organizing the Pandav program. And he said that he wanted me to go out and collect ads for the souvenir we were publishing. And in that way, we would be able to finance the Pandav program. So I explained that Srila Prabhupada had instructed me to write. And as my main business. And Shyamasundara replied that, you know, that's good. But this is a special circumstance. This is one time we can walk into any man's office in the whole city of Bombay and ask for an advertisement for the souvenir. So you should do this. So I did. I was quite successful. And then Srila Prabhupada came. And when Srila Prabhupada would arrive, it was quite typical. He would sit in his room and all the devotees would crowd in and gather around. You know, he'd glance very lovingly at everyone and smile very graciously. And then he looked at me and he said, "So, Giriraj, how is your writing going?" And I was like, I was so flustered, I didn't know what to say. So Srila Prabhupada said, "Okay, we'll talk later." So, after everyone left, you know, he called for me, and I explained what had happened, and I said that what Shyamasundara said made sense, and also I know you want us to cooperate with our authorities, and he was my authority, so I thought I should cooperate. But I was very nervous as to how Srila Prabhupada would respond. And I said, you know, did I do the right thing? And Srila Prabhupada answered, it's similar to this, that you can temporarily suspend the order of the spiritual master, but you can never neglect it. And then he even gave his own example that my spiritual master told me to write, but I've been so busy traveling in India now, I've also practically suspended that order. So you can suspend the order, but you can never neglect it. And I was very relieved. I felt, you know, Srila Prabhupada is so reasonable and so practical. So here he says about having received the instruction from his spiritual master. What was the instruction he received? Good. I could not immediately take up his instructions to preach, but I took his words very seriously and was always thinking of how to execute his order. In this way, I passed my life as a householder until 1950, when I retired from family life as a vanaprastha. With no companion, I loitered here and there until 1958, when I took sannyas. Then I was completely ready to discharge the order of my spiritual master. Previously, in 1936, just before His Divine Grace passed away at Jagannath Puri, I wrote him a letter asking what I could do to serve him. In reply, he wrote me a letter dated 13th December 1936, ordering me in the same way to preach in English the cult of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as I had heard it from him. So the same theme of the order of the spiritual master, and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur repeated the same instruction that he gave Srila Prabhupada at the first meeting. So it was like very strong force behind that instruction. After he passed away, I started the fortnightly magazine Back to Godhead sometime in 1944 and tried to spread the cult of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through this magazine. After I took sannyas, a well-wishing friend suggested that I write books instead of magazines. Magazines, he said, might be thrown away, but books remain perpetually. So this is another point that he, as he says, a well-wishing friend made this suggestion, but he took it very seriously. In other words, in a way you could say that he took it that his spiritual master was instructing him through that friend. Even in relation to his sannyas, he said the same thing, that his god-brother, Srila Bhakti Pragyan Keshav Goswami Maharaj, sort of ordered him to take sannyas. He said that unless you take sannyas, you cannot really preach. And that Prabhupada was having dreams that his Guru Maharaj was calling him to take sannyas. When Srila Bhakti Pragyan Kesha Maharaj passed away in 1968, Srila Prabhupada received the news when he was in Seattle, and he, as he says, he called a condolence meeting of his disciples, and they passed a resolution of bereavement, in which Srila Prabhupada glorified His Holiness Bhakti Pragyan Keshav Goswami Maharaj, and he mentioned how he had given the argument that he should take sannyas, and Srila Prabhupada said that, you know, practically my Guru Maharaj forced me to take sannyas through this god brother. So he took the words of his god brother as coming from his spiritual master. So here, in a way, this is maybe a smaller event, but also significant in its own way. A well-wishing friend suggested that he write books because they would last longer than magazines. Magazines, he said, might be thrown away, but books remain perpetually. Then I attempted to write Srimad Bhagavatam. Before that, when I was a householder, I had written on Srimad Bhagavad Gita and had completed about 1,100 pages. But somehow or other, the manuscript was stolen. In any case, when I had published Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, in 3 volumes in India, I thought of going to the USA. By the mercy of His Divine Grace, I was able to come to New York on what date? Yes, on the Jaladuta steamship. And on what date? Okay, we got the year, 1965. What month and what day?
September 17th.
Yes, that's right. Very good. You have to know that date. Every disciple of His Holiness Bhakti is holy Maharaj must know that date. Because he observes his Vyas Puja on that date. By the mercy of His divine grace, I was able to come to New York on September 17, 1965. Since then, I have translated many books, including Srimad Bhagavatam, the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, a summary, and many others. In the meantime, I was induced to translate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita and publish it in an elaborate version. In his leisure time in later life, His Divine Grace Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would simply read Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. It was his favorite book. Srila Prabhupada also, when he was on the Jaladuta, he kept a diary, and he wrote in his diary that he was relishing the nectarine of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. In his leisure time in later life, His Divine Grace Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would simply read Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. It was his favorite book. He used to say that there would be a time when foreigners would learn the Bengali language to read the Chaitanya Charitamrita. The work on this translation began about 18 months ago. Now, by the grace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and His Divine Grace Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, it is finished. In this connection, I have to thank my American disciples, especially Sriman Pradumya Das Adhikari, Sriman Nitai Das Adhikari, Sriman Jayadwaita Das Brahmachari, and many other boys and girls who are sincerely helping me in writing, editing, and publishing all these literatures. So Srila Prabhupada also, in his humility, is not taking any credit. He's passing it on upwards to his Guru Maharaj and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and you could say passing it on downwards to his disciples. Now, this is a very significant paragraph. Well, I'll give a little background to the, not to the paragraph, but to my, to the significance of the paragraph for me. So, Srila Prabhupada, he told a story about a play that was written in Bengal by a famous playwright, and the title of the play was Shah Jahan. And that play told all about the exploits of Aurangzeb. He was a great tyrant. And he was so cruel that he locked his father in prison, and he was terrible. He would destroy Hindu temples, and so there was a party, and a friend of the playwright asked him that you have titled this book, Shah Jahan, but the book, or the play, is all about the exploits of Aurangzeb. So he is the hero. Why did you name the play Shah Jahan? And the playwright replied that actually the real hero is Shah Jahan, who's the father of Aurangzeb. Because all the time he was in prison in the fort in Agra, he was getting news of his son's exploits, of his son's nefarious activities. And that news was beating on his heart. So he is the real hero. Srila Prabhupada told this story to make the point that the author of a book knows his intentions. And how is that relevant? That Vyasadeva compiled the Brahma Sutras or Vedanta Sutras, which are aphorisms or codes which you cannot really understand by themselves. And he wrote Srimad Bhagavatam as the natural commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. In every line that they have their commentary on Vedanta Sutra, but we never did, because we considered that Vyasadeva himself had written the commentary in the shape of Srimad Bhagavatam. But then later, there was some challenge in Jaipur that our line is not, Gaudiya Vaishnava line is not bona fide because we don't have a commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. To be a bona fide line, you have to have a commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. So that time, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur was in Vrindavan, and he was made aware of that challenge. But he was quite elderly then and a little indisposed, so he sent his associate, who was like a disciple, named Baladeva Vidyabhushan. Baladeva Vidyabhushan went to Jaipur, and he wrote his commentary. It said that actually Govinda Dev, the deity, Govindaji, dictated that commentary. And so his commentary on Vedanta Sutra is called the Govinda Bhasya. And where have you heard of Baladeva Vidyabhushan's Govinda Bhasya commentary on the Vedanta Sutra? Yes. Srila Prabhupada dedicated, this is how important, he dedicated his Bhagavad Gita as it is to Baladeva Vidyabhushan, who so nicely presented the Govinda Bhasya commentary, Vedanta Sutra. This is leading up to an exchange I had in writing with His Holiness Satsarupa Das Goswami Maharaj, who's my first temple president, like a shiksha guru, still is. So I was in the ISKCON temple in Johannesburg, in Mulder's Drift. This, of course, was after Prabhupada left. And there was a deity, you know, those beautiful life-size deities of Srila Prabhupada on the Vyasa sign. And I was just sitting there and I was reflecting on all the things that were happening in ISKCON. And some were very good, I thought, and I imagined that Srila Prabhupada was aware of it. He was getting information, so he was aware of it. and he was happy. And then there were other things that weren't so good, and I imagine that he was also aware of those things, and those things were troubling him. So I wrote this to Sasarupa Maharaj, and I was comparing it to like Shah Jahan, that he was getting all the news of Aurangzeb's exploits, and it was beating on his heart. So Prabhupada was sitting there on his Vyasasa, he was like getting all the news of ISKCON, and like beating on his heart. And I think I also mentioned about something like Srila Prabhupada being in our hearts. So I wrote this to Satsvarupa Maharaj, and he wrote back, and I think I got the reply in Mauritius, but I know I definitely formulated my response to Satsvarupa Maharaj in Mauritius. And he said that, you know, as far as we understand, Srila Prabhupada has either entered Krishna Lila or he's somewhere in the material world preaching. So how can you make all these statements? You know, this is just some sentiment or speculation. So I took that as a challenge, especially coming from such a revered senior devotee and friend, guide. But still, I mean, although I have a sort of a docile, agreeable nature, sort of wanted to agree, but I actually couldn't agree. I couldn't bring myself to agree with that. I just didn't agree. So I undertook a study of different books, you know, Prabhupada's books that we had in the temple. And I found different things. But the thing that was really most substantial and most relevant is what I'm about to read from the concluding words. And I will read that now. Because I had said about like Prabhupada being in the heart. And Sasarupa Maharaj also, that was in the category. Is this just sentiment or speculation? You know, the Paramatma's in the heart. So then I found this. I think that his divine grace, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, is always seeing my activities and guiding me within my heart by his words. As it is said in Srimad Bhagavatam, Tene Brahma Hridaya Adhikavaye. Where does that come in Srimad Bhagavatam?
First verse.
Very, very first verse. Tene, it's and there's a lot in that verse that relates to the Vedanta Sutra. In fact, Jiva Goswami has given an analysis of how the first six aphorisms of the Vedanta Sutra can all be found in the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. So it is the natural commentary. So, Tene Brahma Hridaye Adhikavaye means that Krishna imparted knowledge to Brahma within the heart, Hridaye. So, I think that his divine grace, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, is always seeing my activities and guiding me within my heart by his words. As it is said in Srimad Bhagavatam, Tene Brahma Hridaya Adhikavaye. Spiritual inspiration comes from within the heart. wherein the Supreme Personality of Godhead in His Paramatma feature is always sitting with all His devotees and associates. So this is something new. This is something we never heard before. That the Paramatma is in the heart, but He's not alone. He's there with all of His associates. Devotees and associates. It is to be admitted that whatever translation work I have done is through the inspiration of my spiritual master. Because personally I am most insignificant and incompetent to do this materially impossible work. I do not think myself a very learned scholar, but I have full faith in the service of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. If there is any credit to my activities of translating, it is all due to His Divine Grace. So, I mean, we all know from the Bhagavad Gita that one gets inspiration from Krishna in the heart. Vedaishta Sarvaira Hamevedu Vedanta Kripteva Vedeva Chaham Sarvasya Chaham Hridisani Vista. But here there's a little more detail that the Paramatma is there with His devotees and associates. So Srila Prabhupada is basically saying that His spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, was in His heart with the Paramatma and inspiring His translation of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So I wrote this to Sasrupa Maharaj, and he was like, very impressed. And then that year, during Srila Prabhupada's disappearance festival, in his talk, Satsarupa Maharaj mentioned this point, that the Prabhupada is in our heart and He's watching our activities. If there is any credit to my activities of translating, it is all due to His Divine Grace. Certainly if His Divine Grace were physically present at this time, it would have been a great occasion for jubilation. But even though He is not physically present, I am confident that He is very much pleased by this work of translation. So again, from the beginning, Vani and Vapu. But he's saying even though he's not present physically, but it's not just Vani. Of course he is present by his Vani, by his instructions, but he's also present in the heart, the Paramatma, and he's aware of everything. And so Prabhupada is saying even though he's not present physically, I know he's aware. And he's saying if he were present, it would have been a great occasion of jubilation. But even though he's not physically present, he's still aware and pleased. Certainly if His Divine Grace were physically present at this time, so it's like very encouraging to be aware of this, that the spiritual master is present in the heart and is aware of our activities and can be pleased with our service. So, certainly if His Divine Grace were physically present at this time, it would have been a great occasion for jubilation. But even though He is not physically present, I'm confident that He is very much pleased by this work of translation. He was very fond of seeing many books published to spread the Krishna consciousness movement. Therefore, our society, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, has been formed to execute the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and His Divine Grace, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. It is my wish that devotees of Lord Chaitanya all over the world enjoy this translation. Means you have to read it. If you don't read it, you can't enjoy it. So, that's the first. If you read it, you will enjoy it. It is my wish that devotees of Lord Chaitanya all over the world enjoy this translation. And I am glad to express my gratitude to the learned men in the Western countries who are so pleased with my work that they are ordering in advance all my books that will be published in the future. On this occasion, therefore, I request my disciples, that includes all of you, followers, grand disciples, who are determined to help me in this work, to continue their cooperation fully. Now, what does this mean, cooperation? Prabhupada uses that word so often. Even I said it, like that you wanted us to cooperate with our authorities. So once I asked Srila Prabhupada, I didn't actually mention this, but Prabhupada had a friend named Bridgerton Mota. A very intelligent man, very shrewd. Big businessman, married to R.D. Birla's daughter. And Prabhupada mentioned that a well-wishing friend suggested that he write books instead of men. So Mr. Mota, he actually suggested that Prabhupada serialize the Bhagavad Gita in Back to Godhead magazine. And Prabhupada took that up. He didn't actually do it with the Gita, he did it with the Bhagavatam. Even till today. Every issue of Back to Godhead magazine has an installment of Srimad Bhagavatam. That was from Mr. Mota. That was his suggestion. So the same idea, the spiritual master can speak to us through different people. So, anyway, so once Srila Prabhupada was in New Dwarka, and coincidentally I'd become very sick in Bombay, and Srila Prabhupada said as long as I stay in Bombay, I won't be able to get better. So I ended up coming to New Dwarka to recuperate. And during that period, coincidentally, Mr. Mota came, and he visited Srila Prabhupada. And he used this word, cooperate. So after Mr. Mota left the word, I said to Srila Prabhupada, what does that mean, cooperate? You use that term so often. He said, cooperate means to do what I say. So, now, this is Prabhupada's request to us. On this occasion, therefore, I request my disciples who are determined to help me in this work to continue their cooperation fully. Of course, in this context, that cooperation can have two meanings. One is to obey Srila Prabhupada's instruction, the other is to cooperate with each other. So that philosophers, scholars, religionists, and people in general, all over the world, will benefit by reading our transcendental literatures, such as Srimad Bhagavatam and Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purports to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, dated November 10th, 1974, at the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust, Hare Krishna Land, Juhu, Bombay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Ramakadasi ki jai. Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Lord Bhaktivedanta ki jai. Hare Krishna.
If anybody has any questions
or comments,
one becomes sincere enough to be able to follow the instruction of the spiritual master. Like, of all the pastimes you mentioned, like, you need to be that sincere, that serious, like, surrender towards the instruction. And for me, it feels pretty hard. Like, I would feel that, okay, that is like my spiritual master is having high expectations from me. Like, there would be a fear of failure. So, I don't know. Like, I asked, I think, too many questions in one.
One question you asked is that you feel your spiritual master has high expectations of you. And so, it doesn't really make sense. It sounds like you're saying that you're reluctant to try to follow his instructions because you might fail. But Srila Prabhupada said that when the spiritual master gives an order, he gives the potency to execute it. You're thinking, I mean, based on your question, you're thinking that you're on your own, but you're not. You know, your spiritual master and the whole parampara will help you. So, so you should do it. Of course, you did raise the question of sincerity, that you might not be that sincere. Well, Srila Prabhupada gave... Of course, sincerity is very important. And once when a disciple asked Srila Prabhupada, okay, you're saying we have to be sincere, how do we be sincere? And he said to follow all the instructions of the spiritual master, no matter how big or small. But that's not a good answer for you, because you're not sincere enough to do that. So we need another answer for you. And there is another answer. And Srila Prabhupada said, to become sincere, associate with sincere devotees. So that you can do. Okay. Hare Krishna. Any other questions or comments? That was a brilliant question. That probably spoke for everyone in the room.
Guru Maharaj, it is said that every instruction comes from Guru Maharaj also comes with an empowerment to carry it out also.
Yeah. Yes. That's
so you should have no doubt that when the instruction comes, it is accompanied with the empowerment to do that. So
yes.
Just follow it.
Yes. In fact, we're about to sing the Damodar Astika, and in brief, in the Damodar Leela, Mother Yashoda was trying to bind Krishna with ropes. That Dhamma means ropes, and Udara means abdomen, belly. So, it's described in Srimad Bhagavatam that when she tried to bind him, the ropes were always the width of two fingers too short. Even though she kept adding more ropes, but it was still insufficient by two fingers. And our acharyas, and then the Bhagavatam says that when Krishna saw her hard labor, Parashuram, he gave his mercy to her, Krishna Kripa. And so our acharyas explain that the width of the two fingers can be covered, one by Parashuram, by our earnest and hard labor, and two by Krishna Kripa, by Krishna's mercy. So you have to make your effort, and then there will also be Krishna's mercy, Guru's mercy, Krishna's mercy through Parampara. And that will make you successful in binding Krishna. Okay. Hare Krishna.
I had one question about often when we are engaging in activity, we're putting a lot of effort, and so sometimes the mind says, so one who works hard reaps some positive results out of it, right? So, but we also understand it's the three modes of material nature that is doing the activity. So I was trying to understand how if somebody sits and doesn't do anything, then there is no, really nothing gets done. But there is an activity is being performed. So how does we understand that it's not us who are doing it, but although the activity is being done by us,
Well, there, the Bhagavad Gita says there are five factors to every action, and one is the performer. So you're definitely involved in that action, but the ultimate is the super soul. That's the ultimate factor, but the performer is one of the factors. The work to be done is a fact, you know, this circuit. But so yeah, we have to make our effort, that we depend on Krishna's mercy.